Praise the Lord. How many of you know you serve the God of the impossibles? I really want you to get it in your spirit. Nothing is impossible with God. Everything is possible with Him. Now, when we get that in our spirit, we got it made. We won't walk around here with all kind of problems, will we? Because we know we serve a God of the impossibles. Well, it's good to see you all out in the house of the Lord tonight. I hope you had a good trip here. And I hope you receive what you came for. And remember, nobody has to lay hands on you because it's God that does the work. And so whatever you have need of, God is willing, more than willing to do it tonight. And I was believing for a lot of miracles to happen during the praise and worship. And if you received it, praise God. And if you don't think you did, well, you did, and it'll manifest itself, right? I've seen that many times. You think, well, I didn't receive anything, but next thing you know, it's manifest, and you received more than enough, right? Well, Father, I truly do thank you for the people who came out into your house tonight. You called this meeting, Father God, so I know you're here with us, and I know you're doing a powerful works. And Father God, as we praised you and worshiped you tonight, I know it was a sweet-smelling essence under your nostrils. And Father God, I'm just asking that you complete the works you started. I thank you for your angelic host who's walking to and fro throughout the chairs tonight, ministering to your people. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads, guides, and directs us. And I thank you for the blood of your Son, Jesus. And Father God, we thank you for being who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, God is on the move in more ways than we know. He's on the move in some areas where we don't even know He's on the move. So don't think He's not on the move, because He is. And don't think He's not moving, because He is. We haven't seen the glory in its fullness, but we are going to see it's in the fullness. We see it here and we see it there. But one day when it hits, you're not going to have time to turn around. So God's given you time to get yourself together and get it all lined up, because pretty soon you're not going to have time to do anything but God work. And that is the truth. And God has been telling us that now for a few years. He is giving us time to get things together, because once He moves, your whole life is going to change. Your whole entire life is going to change. And you think it's changed now. You haven't seen anything yet. Get that in your spirit. You haven't seen anything yet. Tonight, God, He just called us a miracle weekend. And He wants to talk to you about a few things. And so a miracle is a supernatural act. And a miracle is a phenomenon not explained by known laws of nature. Criteria for classifying an event as a miracle vary. Often a religious text, such as the Bible or Quran, states that a miracle occurred and believers may accept this as a fact. Now, I know I've walked in miracles, and I know there are miracles, and I'm just excited and a little bit upset with God that He hasn't already started the miracles in the church. But, you know, in all of His fullness, the way He says He's going to, you know, I'm just used to, every time we meet, just something great and wonderful happening. And I'm just used to lives being changed. And I'm still not satisfied with the way God's moving. He knows this. Now you all know that. Because I want Him to start moving the way He's promised. I do not want what I had yesterday. Because He said what we're going into is so much greater. But I do wish we'd get something greater than what we have right now. Amen. And if, you know, we just sang the God of the impossible. So, you know, and I believe that, and that's why I wanted us to sing that song, because we do serve an impossible God. He can make everything that's impossible possible. Amen. So this is what God said. Miracles happen every day of your lives. You just do not know how to recognize them. A miracle can occur in many different ways. The reason my children are always saying, "Where are the signs, wonders, and miracles?" is because they are not looking for the correct thing. Look around about you each and every day, and I guarantee you that you will begin to see miracles everywhere. Now, this is God speaking, not me. God said, when a bird sings, that is a miracle. When a baby is born, that is a miracle. When the flowers bloom, that is a miracle. We can go on, but I want to teach you more of my miracle-working strategy. The biggest miracle that God that could ever occur is the changes I make within your temple to prepare you for my use. And this is what this is about tonight. It's the miracles that God has been doing in your life to prepare you for what God wants you to do. God says, children, the first thing you need to understand is where miracles come from. Miracles come from above, and miracles are poured out because of my love for the vessels that I created. God said, the die has been cast, and every miracle I am ever going to perform is already in the making. You see, I always plan everything out before it ever occurs. I never do anything haphazardly, and I am never caught off guard by anything that occurs all across this land. Aren't you glad he's not us? He plans everything out. God said, all must understand that I am a miracle-working father, and I so delight in showering my children with miracle after miracle. Look at my word. Was not the way the earth was created a miracle? And he says, absolutely. Can you place, and God is asking you a question, can you place the stars in the sky and name each and every one of them? Can you put the heavens above and the earth beneath? Can you place the oceans in the rightful place or draw a line and say no further? And he said all that, so I looked up Job. And, you know, Job was complaining. So this is what God said to Job, and that's what he's saying to each one of us in here tonight. Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Job from a whirlwind and said, who is this ignorant person saying these foolish things? He's talking to Job now. Prepare yourself for an attack. Get ready to answer the questions I will ask you. God said, get yourself prepared because I've come. Where were you when I made the earth? If you are so smart, answer me. And who decided how big the earth should be? Who measured it with a measuring line? What is the earth resting on? Who put the first stone in its place? When the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted with joy, who closed the floodgates as a sea gushed from the womb? Who covered it with clouds and wrapped it in darkness? I set the limits for the sea and put it behind locked gates. I said to the sea, you can come this far, but no further. This is where your proud waves will stop. Did you ever in your life command the morning to begin or the day to dawn? Did you ever tell the morning light to grab the earth and shake those who are evil? I like this verse. Did you ever tell the morning light to grab the earth and shake those who are evil out of their hiding places? The morning light makes the hills and valleys easy to see. When the daylight comes to the earth, the shapes of these places stand out like the folds of a coat. They take shape like soft clay that is pressed with a stamp. Evil people don't like the daylight. When it shines bright, it keeps them from doing the bad things they do. Have you ever noticed that evil people do what they do at night? Have you ever gone to the deepest parts of the sea? Have you ever walked on the ocean bottom? Has anyone shown you the gates to the world of the dead? Have you ever seen those gates that lead to the dark place of death? Do you really understand how big the earth is? Tell me if you know all this. He's upset with Job, isn't he? Where does light come from? Where does darkness come from? Can you take them back to where they belong? Do you know how to get there? Surely you know these things since you are so old and wise. You were alive when I made them, weren't you? Have you ever gone into the storerooms where I keep the snow and the hail? I save them there for times of trouble, for the times of war and battle. Have you ever gone to the place where the sun comes up, where it makes the east wind blow all over the earth? Who dug ditches in the sky for the heavy rain? Who made a path for the thunderstorm? Who makes it rain even in desert places where no one lives? The rain gives that dry, empty land all the water it needs, and grass begins to grow. Does the rain have a father? Who produces the drops of dew? Does ice have a mother? Who gives birth to the frost? That's when the water freezes as hard as a rock. Even the deep sea freezes over. Can you unfasten the belt of Orion? Can you bring out the other constellations at the right times? Can you lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws that control the sky? Can you put each star in its place above the earth? Can you shout out the clouds and command them to cover you with rain? Can you give a command that lightning will come to you and say, here we are. What do you want, sir? Will it go wherever you want it to go? Who makes people wise? Who puts wisdom deep inside them? Who is wise enough to count the clouds and tip them over to pour out their rain? The rain makes the dust become mud and the clumps of dirt stick together. There you go, guys. You're so smart and so wise. Can you answer all God's questions that he gave to Job? I don't think so. So we need to quit thinking we're God, right? And we just need to understand that God is God and he does what he wants to do. And I never thought about somebody being in charge of the skies, did you? Just never thought about that. But when I read that over and over again, I thought this is really a lot of wisdom here. And we need to quit trying to tell God what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and that includes me. I need to quit telling him that I want him to hurry up and do his thing, right? He knows the exact time that he's going to do it. Then God said, miracle after miracle. Children, throw all of your inhibitions to the side and just allow me to use your vessels to perform any miracle I so desire to perform. In other words, quit thinking, well, God really can't use me, and, you know, is God doing this? Throw all that aside and just be a willing vessel for God to work through at any given time. God said, you have not been seeing lasting miracles occur for a couple decades now because of the doubt and unbelief that has been allowed to infiltrate my houses. You see that? It's doubt and unbelief. My houses should be full of miracles, one after another. You talk about miracles, but do you actually see miracles? Now, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, please just go on, all right? I said that because of what God's ready to say. You say a miracle happened when you prayed, but the next day that miracle is not there. No, I tell you that you have not seen real miracles. Real miracles occur and last. They do not just fade away because the night has passed. You know, that's just like Sister Elaine was talking about the young man who doesn't have to walk with a cane. You know, that's a real miracle. It's lasting. You see, this is what God's talking about. All right, somebody say, well, I prayed for somebody, a miracle happened, and they were healed, but the next day they still have that sickness. You know, so that wasn't a lasting miracle. I'm not going to go into all that, but we do have lasting miracles. It doesn't matter how big anybody's faith is. It doesn't matter anything. It's our walk with God, the one that's doing the praying, and what we have faith to see God do. And the person you're praying for doesn't have to have any faith whatsoever. It's just that the power of God is flowing through you. And you want God to let that person see a miracle in their life to help them believe that God is real. All right? So you see, little ones, you have not yet encountered this, listen to this, the everlasting miracle working power that I need you to walk in. And I tell you, before this year ends, miracles will flood this earth. So what do we need? Everlasting miracle working power, so that whenever you pray, it happens and it lasts. It does not leave. I don't know about you, but I know when somebody prays with me whether or not I've received a miracle. I really do. I know whether or not a healing really occurred. And I know when I pray for myself whether or not I'm going to get what I receive. Now, I'm not talking doubt and unbelief. I just know that whether it's going to happen or not. And if it doesn't happen, I know it's because God has something else he's trying to do. But I will get the healing because he said I would. Or, you know, this is not doubt and unbelief. And a lot of people say, well, you just didn't have enough faith to believe. No, and you and I was taught that, but that's not true. I know people had so much faith that they about died because they had so much faith, but you weren't healed at that given moment that they were prayed for. All right, let's put it this way. They were healed in heaven, but it hasn't manifested yet. Like God told me a while back, daughter, your body is healed. Now just make your body line up with my word. So what do I do every day? I say to my body, you are healed in heaven and you're healed now in the name of Jesus. And I don't receive anything more that the enemy tries to put on me. I say, nope, I'm healed. And see, we have to learn the difference, because this is why it's made people get upset and they get discouraged and they leave the church, because we tell them, well, if you don't get healed when I prayed for you, you just didn't have enough faith. That's not true. I've seen a lot of people get very, very discouraged because of that. Sometimes it's a person praying for you that isn't right with God. They don't have that everlasting miracle working power. They think they do, but they don't. See, this is where you have to become honest with yourself. If you're going to go out there and lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, then you have to be right with God. And this is what this message is about. God getting us right so we can carry that miracle working power. All right. Now, you know, when I first started, well, for years, you know, God used me to heal and you know, and raise the dead and everything else. And people, the church told me, you can't do those things. And I'd go home crying. I said, God, they said I can't do that. He said, you do what I tell you to do and don't worry about what they're saying. See, my heart and everything else was right with God. And I could do that because I was standing in right standing with God. And these other people were telling me I couldn't. They weren't in right standing with God, or they would never try to discourage me. Are you understanding that? Don't let anybody ever try to discourage you when you're out there laying hands on the sick or whatever you're doing. Get yourself right with God, and then just go forth. That's the way it works. And God said here, he's saying, I so desire that you be right in the very center of the miracle worker and power. Stay close to me and allow me to be the one to keep the anointing continually flowing through you. Who does this? If you stay close to God, he says, he will keep the anointing continually flowing through you. So that no matter where you go, what you do, that power is there to see the miracles happen. Allow me to use you as a vessel of honor that will lead the unbeliever into my kingdom of light. Church, rise to the calling I have placed upon you in this dispensation of time. You cannot be a miracle carrier if you are still having issues with a brother or sister. That is the truth, and I'm not going to alter that truth for anybody. You say you love me, but you still cannot truly love your brother or sister. The biggest miracle you will ever see is when you can honestly wash your brother or sister's feet and truly accept them for who they are. And I'm just going to give a little testimony here. You know, when I was married to my husband, you know, we were going through a terrible time. And God said to me, I want you to wash his feet and become his servant. I obeyed God. I washed his feet. I became his servant. I really didn't know what I was doing at that time. I'm going to be honest about it. I just did what God told me to do. And then as I studied up on it, I realized what was happening. No matter what he did or said, I was his servant to serve him and love him no matter what he was dishing out to me. And because I did that, God's miracle working anointing stayed in me and flowed through me. And that's why God could use me to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. Are you understanding this? This is important that you get a hold of this tonight. Because I have seen this in the body of Christ, where you allow bitterness or aught against a brother and sister just totally keep you out of the perfect will of God and keep you from being a miracle working vessel for God. And so anyhow, God said, you say you love me, but you still cannot truly love your brother or sister. The biggest miracle you will ever see is when you can honestly wash your brother and sister's feet and truly accept them for who they are. John 13:12. When Jesus finished washing their feet, that was the disciples, Jesus put on his clothes and went back to the table, and he asked the disciples, do you understand what I did for you? And when God asked me to wash his feet, I did not understand what he wanted me to do, why he had me do that. Jesus says, you call me teacher and you call me Lord. And this is right, because that is what I am. I am your Lord and teacher, but I washed your feet. Why? So you also should wash each other's feet. And did the disciples squabble among themselves? And seeing God didn't want that. Jesus said, I did this as an example for you, so you should serve each other just as I served you. Jesus said, believe me, servants are not greater than their master. Those who are sent to do something are not greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, great blessings will be yours if you do them. See that? All right, I'm going to throw this in here. There's been a couple times in my walk with God where I knew I wasn't right with God. You know, I might have had odd, I don't remember what it was, but I had something in me that I knew what God wasn't pleased with, but people would want me to pray for them. So I said, God, please bypass what I'm doing, what I've done. This person needs a miracle. And when I pray for them, please heal them. And God honored that. God honored that because he knew that I was working through that thing that I had allowed to slip in there, whatever it happened to be. That was years ago. And I always thanked him profusely. When I went home, I cried. And I said, thank you for working through this imperfect vessel. And I thank you that you didn't allow this imperfect vessel to stop that person from receiving whatever they had to receive. Are you understanding that? Because we're not always going to be perfect. And God just might place somebody in your path when you're not being perfect that really needs you to pray for them. And so you have to ask God to repent and ask God to forgive you and then pray for the person. I don't want anybody ever think I can't pray for somebody because you're never going to be perfect. And like I say, you never know who's going to come across your path that you have to pray for just when you did something really stupid. All right? So be encouraged tonight. All right, God said, you talk about loving the unlovable, but in the same breath you come against the ones I have placed over you. But that is nothing new. I placed my son Jesus over you, and you came against him also. You blasphemed him, and you totally neglected the weightier issues. But what does Jesus say are the weightier matters of the law? I had to look this up. In Matthew 23:23, woe to you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. See, we need to practice justice, mercy, and faith. And still do all the other things that God's calling us forth to do. And God said, open up your blind eyes this night. And allow me to anoint them with eye salve so you can see the truth. And then allow the truth to set you free. For it is in freedom that great signs, wonders, and miracles occur. Always, not just now and then, but always. So he says, open up your blind eyes this night. And allow me to anoint them with eye salve. This night, he's talking about. So you can see the truth and then allow the truth to set you free. For it is in freedom that great signs, wonders, and miracles occur always, just not now and then, but always. So this is what God wants to do. This is your miracle service, to be set free so God can use you to go out there and set the captives free. Revelation 3:17 says, you say you are rich. You think you have become wealthy and don't need anything, but you don't know that you are truly miserable, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And I advise you to buy gold from me, gold made pure in fire. Then you will be rich. I tell you this, buy clothes that are white. Then you will be able to cover your shameful nakedness. I also tell you to buy medicine and to put on your eyes. Then you'll be able to see. Anoint your eyes with eye salve is what it told us. Was a prescription offered by Jesus. This is what I'm saying. I'm teaching you this. Was a prescription offered by Jesus to the first century Christian congregation in Laodicea, Asia Minor. This was not a literal disease of the eyes, but spiritual blindness that needed to be treated. In other words, they thought they were all that and then some, and they weren't. Christians in Laodicea had been influenced by the spirit of the materially prosperous city in which they lived and had become complacent about their true spiritual needs. I don't think we can ever become complacent because God keeps telling us to examine ourselves, right? He tells us over and over and over again to examine ourselves. He does not want us to become like the Laodiceans were. So as was true of those in Laodicea, genuine Christians today need to guard against being unduly influenced, perhaps unconsciously, by the materialistic and pleasure-oriented environment in which they live. The prescription for maintaining a healthy spiritual outlook is indicated in the admonition, buy from Jesus, in that scripture we read, eye salve to rub in your eyes that you may see. Worthy of note is the fact that this eye salve has to be bought. There is a cost involved. Time must be expended to study and meditate on the Word of God so we can be more like Jesus and less like the world. If we spend more time reading our Word and seeing God told me one time, I want you to get in the Word, read everything about my son Jesus. And then I want you to work at being like my son Jesus. So I got in the Word and studied Jesus as hard as I could study. And I realized that most of the church is not like Jesus. They are not walking like Jesus walked. God said, you say you came to a miracle service, but you don't fully understand what kind of miracle service I was speaking about. The biggest miracle you will ever see is your complete transformation from the old to the new. What does he say? Your complete transformation. You say, I'm a brand new wineskin and God can fill me full of new wine. And God says, but not so. This is God speaking. It is not until you can love all peoples that you will be ready to carry this new wine. The enemy will always send a thorn your way, and I know you will have difficulty with a few of them, but you must at all costs learn to love unconditionally. Let's stop there. When God said, you know, you will have thorns sent your way, he means people. People are thorns, and, you know, they're going to really rub you the wrong way. And what does he say? He's, I know you will have difficulty with a few of them. He knows that. But you must at all costs learn to love unconditionally. How many of you, your love walk's been tested for the past year? I mean, it's been tested to the limits and then over the limits. I have never been tested in my love walk, and I have to work on it and work on it and work on it and work on it. And I know that if I don't stay in the love walk, I cannot be a vessel that God can use. So, guys, we're, you know, I've learned to love so many unlovable people over and over and over again. You know, and I know that I'm unlovable at times too, but there's some thorns that are just thorns. And you have to keep saying, God, you know what you're doing. God, keep me in a safe place in you. Don't let me overstep my boundaries and get out of love, but keep me in love. Amen. That doesn't mean I have to have dinner with them. Doesn't mean I have to email them, but you know, I can love them from a distance. You know what I'm saying? Please get that straight. You know, there are people out there that just are never going to serve God the way they ought. And it's not your job to change them. It's your job to love them in it from a distance. Pray for them. And then let God do the rest. Come on. And when you're right in the very center of sin, and you're the only one that's serving God, it's really hard to keep that love walk. I'm being honest, to keep that love walk going. It really is hard because they're bombarding you. You don't only have one, you have six bombarding you every second of every day, never giving you any rest or any peace. And you have to work really hard. And I know that's God sometimes pressuring us, putting us in that furnace of affliction so that he's pressing us still so that we can stay in that love walk. We'll be able to love no matter what goes on. We'll just be able to laugh and love and just go on like we're crazy. Amen? That's the truth. God said, for this is surely the last hour, and the great works must be accomplished in you first, and then carry this great works into a lost and dying world. And as God was talking about washing your brother and sister's feet, he showed me there's people in the house of God that you just, there's just something about somebody just rubs you the wrong way. And so instead of you just giving it to God and getting rid of it, you just keep turning your head and make sure you ignore that person. You, when they come, you sort of smile and walk away because they just rub you the wrong way. Now that's not good. Because if you're going to fellowship with somebody every service, you're going to have to face them. And you're going to have to get rid of that animosity you have towards them. All right, God said, this is a miracle. This is a miracle service. But tonight, the miracle is you becoming like my son, Jesus. Remember what God told me? If you don't have your heart open to be hurt, I can't use you. Remember, I had the wall built around my heart. You could come this far and you weren't going to get any closer. So you have to be willing to be hurt if you're going to be a vessel used by God. If you want signs, wonders, and miracles to work through you, then you're going to have to be willing to be hurt. You don't have to go look for the hurt. Don't be that dumb. The hurt will find you. Believe me, it will, won't it? The hurt finds you all the time. All right, he said, this is a miracle service, but tonight the miracle is you becoming like my son Jesus. My son Jesus was full of unadulterated love, and through him all signs, wonders, and miracles occurred. Now, God allowed me to raise the dead, including a dog. Now, I had to be something like Jesus to do that. The whole time, for 30-some years, the ministry had nothing but signs, wonders, and miracles occurring. People were healed of things, you know, that doctors said they were dying from. But then I allowed the church for the last 10 years, maybe 15 years, tell me that I could not do what I was doing. And I started questioning God and myself. And every now and then I still question myself. And I say, no, devil, in the name of Jesus, I don't go there. You're a liar. So don't allow people or the devil make you guess yourself. All right. You know what you are in Christ Jesus. Stay there. Stay firm in what you know God's called you to do, and then go forth. God said, you will find in my word where my son admonishes you to be like him. So Luke 6:39 says, Jesus told them this story. Can a blind man lead another blind man? No, both of them will fall into a ditch. So if I was not in a love walk, I couldn't lead you into love. I couldn't do that. Students are not better than their teacher, but when they have been fully taught, they will be like their teacher. So if we really study the walk of Jesus and find out what kind of a love walk he walked, then you will become like Jesus. And Matthew 28:19 says, so go and make followers of all people. This is Jesus speaking. So go and make followers of all people in the world. We're supposed to go and win everybody to Christ. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How are you supposed to baptize them? Jesus said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some people say you shouldn't do that. Well, right there, Jesus said too. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you to do. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of time. Then John 13:34 says, Jesus says, I give you a new command. Love each other. You must love each other just as I loved you. You must. It's a command. All people will know that you are my followers if you love each other. So if you claim you're a follower of Christ and you're fighting with each other and cussing each other and acting like a fool, you are not one of God's children. I don't care what you say. You just are not. Isn't that what he just said here? All right, Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, accept my teaching, learn from me. I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will be able to get some rest. Yes, the teaching that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light. And the other night, God had to remind me that. He said, daughter, the load you're carrying is too heavy. I didn't give that to you. You need to drop it right now. So I dropped it. I didn't need another load. How about you? Are your loads heavy or are they light? If they're heavy, God didn't give them to you. Need to drop them. Ephesians 5:1 says, you are God's dear children, so try to be like him. Live a life of love. Love others just as Christ loved us. He gave himself for us, a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God. Then he goes on to say, but there must be no sexual sin among you. There must not be any kind of evil or selfishly wanting more and more, because such things are not right for God's holy people. All right, so I looked up, and saints or holy ones was a term used in the New Testament to describe followers of Jesus as God's special people. Saints or holy ones was a term used in the New Testament to describe followers of Jesus as God's special people. They were holy because they have been made pure through Jesus and belong only to God. This was the followers back then. The church today is not like that. And God's been calling us for years. That's why this picture's up here, to be holy as he is holy. You came for a miracle, and this is God speaking, and you will receive a miracle as you yield your heart to me. This night, I want your heart. God is dealing with you people to get your miracle of total and complete transformation so that then he can pour his power into you and lead you into the dark regions of this world. This is just what he's saying. And then you will have the power and authority in you to set the captives free, and you will see great signs, wonders, and miracles. I was talking to Brother Brett before the church service started, and I said, you know, for 15, maybe 19 years now, I've been taking the homeless into my house, you know, giving them a home. And they had all the luxury that you could possibly want. But you know what? Not a one of them got saved. You know, I taught them about Jesus. I lived the example of Jesus before them. I waited on them hand and foot. I did everything that Jesus did. But not a one of them got saved. And when I thought about this last night, I was discouraged, really discouraged. Because I had never thought about before until last night when God was putting this together. It isn't that I didn't live the example before them. It was just that some way, somehow, their heart never softened. And they just would not receive Christ. But then what I am believing is that a seed was planted. Somebody's going to come along and water it. And maybe you street ministry people are the ones that's going to reap the harvest. Because it's harvest time now. So the seed was planted when God had me, and God would always tell me, bring them in. And, you know, and there was really ungodly things that they did. But God said, love them unconditionally, and you know, and I will do the rest. So I planted a seed, and I'm quite sure that, you know, maybe you people that go down the street, you might water that seed, or somebody else might have already watered it, and now you're going to come along and you're going to, I really believe you guys, I believe they've been planted and watered, and now I believe that you guys are going to reap the harvest of souls. But before God uses you to do that, you know, they're saying that on the streets, there's going to be, say, multitudes of people give their heart to God instantly. When you go out there and you minister to them. But before you do that, you're going to have your heart totally and completely right with God. You're going to have to love your brother and sister no matter what. None of us are the same. We all have different personalities. We all say and do things at times we wish we could chop our tongue off for saying or doing, you know. And so, you know, that's why God said don't judge and remember from whence you came. You know, forgive your brother and sister whatever they did. You don't know how many times I forgive my brothers and sisters, and I've forgiven the pastors in this area, even though they still think I'm of the devil. You know, that's their problem, not mine. And this is how you should feel when people come against you. That's their problem, not yours. And you just need to forgive them and just go on and do whatever God is calling you forth to do. And the first thing that God wants out of each one of us tonight is to be totally and completely transformed. What did you say? He said, you want your heart now. If you're going to say, well, you have my heart, then have you forgiven that brother or sister that you've had aught against? You can't give him your heart unless you forgive those who come against you. And I want you to take a few minutes right now, and I just want you to forgive those who have come against you. And I just want you even to repent to God and say, God, I haven't treated my brother or sister right, but I will from this moment forth. And I'm just sorry that I did what I did. And, you know, we act stupid. You know, we're not perfect. So it could be a husband, could be a child, you know, that's going done something bad. It could be somebody you set within the house of God. But whatever you do, forgive them and repent. And wash yourself clean. And then whenever you're ready, whenever you come up here to say, God, I'm giving you my heart tonight so that I can be totally transformed so that you can put your anointing in me, your power, your anointing in me, so that when I go out, the sick will recover, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will walk, you know, whatever it is that you're expecting from God. And because God's used me in every capacity there is in the Word, I'm telling you right here now, if you walk right with God, you can walk it too. You know, one person can't do it all. I mean, I know that God said the Catherine Kuhlman anointing has become prevalent once again. And you know, look at the multitude of people would go to her meetings, and sometimes she didn't do anything but just stand up there, and God would just do the miracles. But see, she was a vessel that was pure before God. And when she became tainted is when her ministry stopped and she died. You don't want to leave here tonight being tainted by anything. You want to leave here tonight with a pure heart, know that you've forgiven everybody anything they've ever done for you. Are they worth going to hell for? Are they worth not seeing, you know, somebody's limbs grown on? I was watching, I happened to walk through the room the other day, and there was that family program comes on early in the morning. They had that, you, some of you might have seen it, the girl on there that was born with no arms. She does everything with her feet. She flies an airplane. She drives a car. She has won all kind of rewards. And they said, did you ever want artificial limbs? She said, no. She tried it one time, but that wasn't for her because, see, she never knew what arms were for because she never had any. So she used her feet. And it showed her driving a car, feet up there, you know, driving a car. She was in there putting her makeup on with her feet, her toes, you know. And she said, I don't miss arms because I never had them. Not one bitter streak in her at all because she was born without arms. And she goes around, I guess, as a speaker, and this woman was told her baby was born was not going to have any arms, and the woman didn't even want the baby. She was so devastated. But the woman said, I'll be there. And she flew to where this woman was, stayed with her until the baby was born, and then talked her through and walked her through her baby not having arms, and the mother loves the baby. Yeah, come on. People get bitter at God over such a, you know, everything, but she didn't become bitter. She said, God just decided not to give me arms, but I have other, you know, her toes that she could use. So what would you do, if you were born without limbs? What would you do if you knew you was going to have a baby without limbs? Would you abort it? You know, think about these kind of things. You know, really, you don't know what you're going to do until you come upon that situation, but still in all, we can think about them. You know? So, do you want a pure heart tonight? You want to give your heart to God and let Him make it pure so He can use you as a vessel of honor that He can work through with all His powers. The altar's open if that's what you want to do.